אנחנו לומדים מתוך הספר זוהר לעם, פרשת שלח לך.
Starting from Zohar for all, the portion of Shlach Lecha, send away, article Alu Ze Benegev, Rise in the Negev. You can ask questions at kab.info, and you can also send us questions. Selected questions related to the study materials will be asked live. Zohar for all, the portion of Shlach Lecha, send away, item 55.
Adam be'olam hazeh.
The man in this world who receives an awakening as a unique desire coming from a higher level, having gone through all the other levels of development in history, inanimate, vegetative, and animate, and when he was on the animate level, on the level of an ape, came off the trees and started developing as a human through the degrees inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human of the human. So now it's reaching the human level of the human level, which means that what begins to awaken within the person is a desire to resemble the Creator. That's called the Adam, the human of the human. And even then, there, you have still vegetative, animate, and human degrees. As you begin to correct yourself, work on yourself, and advance in that, until you actually come to resemble the Creator, and that's called adhesion. Well, and there are many details here. And that's what we're dealing with. So when a person receives this desire, he doesn't know what to do. Because spirituality is, besides the beginning of the desire, and the beginning of the desire is called a point in the heart, one doesn't know how to actualize it, what to do. We see that these people become like babies. They don't know how to actualize this desire. And we see that humanity now advances in the same way, and through various confusions and scrutinies, they begin to discern the desire for the next level. Part of it is corporeal suffering, and part of it is spiritual suffering. Corporeal suffering, we understand. Spiritual suffering is that I want to achieve that, and yet I can't. Then, if a person has really come to a point where his point in the heart, the desire from a higher level, the beginning of the desire from a higher level, is already, that's already a correct beginning. Let's say it's like a good seed that you could plant in a fertile soil, and that will then bring about a tree. If so, then he's brought to that fertile soil where he can get support, and that's the group, the teacher, the books, all that he needs. From then on, as we learn, he has the choice whether to continue developing or not. In that development, as we say, we have several conditions. One, that I'm clear that I'm heading towards bestowal. That's the quality of the upper level above me. It's called the upper world. The quality of the upper force. I have to know something about that, to think about it, to long for that. So I need to be in a society that will awaken me towards this specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the awakening from me, that's not enough. In order to move anything, you need both plus and minus. And there needs to be some resistor, or in the engine, some resistance that provides the result that we are looking for. The resistance between the force of the light and the force of the desire. So if a person is in a group, nullifying himself before the group, wanting to reach bestowal, or trying to somehow envision himself playing with that form of bestowal, with the intention perhaps to become like it, that's called his own resistance, his overcoming. As a result of that, the upper light appears from above, based on that resistance, meaning based on that effort he makes. So from below comes minus, from above the plus, and for that effort, one feels the result of the work, that his point in the heart that has brought him into the place, it begins to expand and he feels all kinds of discernments within it. And mostly it happens during the study, because that's the state where we can draw the light that reforms. So, now we are in front of the source, the most important source of light in the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's how it's called, the Zohar. It's really the light of Ein Sof that is hidden in the book. Like Bar Aslam writes that the Rashbi group was at the height of the 125 levels. And in our tendency, we wish to reach bestowal, and that means coming to connection and mutual guarantee as one man in one heart, also bonding with the Creator, the force of bestowal, so that He corrects us and dwells in us. And with this type of intention, we come to the correction now, to the reading. What's the correction? That each and every moment, we certainly will get all kinds of helpers. These helpers will be all kinds of distractions, diversions to all kinds of calculations, and we will resist, and we will add more resistance, each and every one, to our collective vessel, to our collective plate, so to speak, and then this force of resistance to not let go of the source of bestowal and connection and love, that will lead to the creation of the place that we all discover through the connection between us and the correction and the fulfillment of the Creator. So let's read the Zohar in this manner.
Article Alu Zeba Negev, Ascend in the Negev, 55. The Creator praises in the Torah and says, walk in my path and engage in my work, and I will bring you to good worlds, to upper worlds. People who don't know and do not believe and do not look, the Creator tells them, go and spy after the good world, the sweet upper world. And they answer, how can we spy after it and know all of that? 56. The Creator tells them, ascend in the Negev and climb the mountain and look at the land. What is it like? And the people who dwell in her, are they strong or weak? Ascend in the Negev. Try with the Torah and see that it stands before you. And from her you'll know that world. And you will see the land. What is it like? That from her you will see that world, which is the inheritance and the lot that I bring you to it. And the people who sit in here, those are the righteous in the Garden of Eden, who stand lines after lines in the upper glory, in the upper degrees. 57. Are they strong or weak? Are they few or many? In here you will see if they merited all of that because they have overcome their inclination forcefully and they broke it, or limply without any exertion, or whether they were strengthened through the Torah to engage in here day and night, or they let go of it, and nonetheless they merited all of that. If there are many who engage in my work and strengthen in the Torah and have merited all of that, or not. 58. And what about the land? Is it fat or skinny? With the Torah you will know what is the land, what is that world, whether in it the upper goodness is plentiful for those who dwell in it, or does it lack anything? Does it have a tree or not? Does it have the tree of life, Zeranpin, forever and for eternity? Or whether there is in her the bundle of life, the Yesod, or not? I have nothing to add. Are there any questions? What, Glizein? Well, quickly. Come closer to the microphone. Or how to appreciate the quality of dissemination and who can do that? It's a question from the women. Obviously, it's not you asking. How to appreciate the importance of dissemination. If a person understands that in the world there is only one soul, as we studied in the article 600,000 souls, and what he's correcting is he's correcting his own soul. He's bringing closer to himself his own parts. He's truly sawing back, gluing back all the parts of his spiritual body that now appear to him as far away, maybe even opposite, hated, not belonging to him, because everything is broken, meaning everything is immersed in the quality of reception, the quality of the ego. Therefore, this is what he thinks. Hence, he doesn't give up from that work of bestowing to others. Only one has to relate to them gently. Because, well, you can ask, if I relate to them as to myself. To myself, I'm not doing any, you know, great consideration now. I have to simply go in a way where I obligate myself. So why can't I relate that way to the others and obligate them? No. If you would have loved them, you would have been able to relate to them in a way that you obligate them. But if you reject them, if you hate them, at all kinds of different levels, obviously, hatred may be a harsh word, but because this is your attitude, nonetheless, you have to relate to them as to whatever is closest to you, meaning like towards your babies or your children. Like that, with love and a nice attitude. But this speaks of a purposeful attitude to the point. Therefore, we have to engage in dissemination. And the summary of what I said is that we have to do dissemination and help those parts join us, connect with us as quickly as possible, to see them as being connected, them connecting to us as going back to a single body, and that we will always relate to them softly, tenderly. So I have no choice. I don't get upset at them. I can't tell my child, all right, you can fall and break your leg, you know, and then you'll start listening to me. It doesn't work in that way. Right? Nonetheless, you make an effort that he will learn with as few sufferings as possible. And that's also how we have to relate to the world. Sometimes I hear that, well, let them suffer, then they'll learn. They'll learn their lesson, then they'll listen, then they'll come to us on all fours. That's not the right attitude. Not from the degree of love that you first have to apply. Now you can say differently. Well, it's true. In theory, you can say you're thinking correctly. We need to relate to them nicely and come to them in a, you know, softly. But if I'm studying from the Creator the way that He does things, well, who's going to give an excuse about that? Yes? The way that He does it? Why don't we see His nice, soft behavior out of love? What kind of horrors we see in the world? Well, we won't enter that. The Zohar will correct everything. Let's continue with that. You have something? You're asking about the quality of dissemination and how do we measure that? Oh, sorry. Quality of dissemination. You see. I'm philosophizing with myself. So, how do we measure the quality of dissemination?
It's hard to say. Also, it's hard to indicate according to the results. And even according to people's impressions, because, you know, until something permeates people, you know it from yourself, until something permeates your heart and mind, and until your heart and mind process it. So you can't see how it works, all the more so with other people, also through different mentalities that sometimes you don't really understand a person. I think that our effort, the more we try to put ourselves in their place and at least relate to them from the example we have, this will create a good result. But don't go and check with what your eyes see or according to your mind, because that can lead to mistakes. In short, I have to try with all my heart in the most fitting way, the way I think, towards the external people to disseminate. And only according to what I feel, according to what I discern, perhaps you could do some type of research of what's happening there, but not necessarily. It's not certain that it will be correct. And certainly not to listen to all kinds of external discernments. I think that we have to keep going. And with this effort, we will succeed. For the effort we make, the light will come and correct us and bring the audience closer to us and we closer to understanding them and so on. That's how it's done.
Is it all right for people to develop the written contract of Arvut as the measurement that we as an indication that we are going to grow, become stronger, and connect.
We have learned yesterday in passages from the Zohar and from other places that in spirituality there's no difference. In the soul, there's no difference between men and women that are in this world, because in the souls, each and every part includes both the male part and the female part. In our world, there's minus and plus, and the resistance between them. Just like, you know, an electron and a proton, and there's the potential difference between them. Not in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there's Masach and Oviyut that dwell together. One cannot be without the other. And they operate on a single carrier, not several. One carrier, which is the desire. Also, the Oviyut doesn't refer to the desire itself. Well, no, maybe it's time to delve deeper into this, but not right now. So what I wish to say is that the same actions that the men do, they can be done by the women to the extent that they try. I see no difference. On the contrary, the more they learn and try to do it, it will help the man also. And we should encourage them to do so.
The article of the spies, 59, and he ascended in the Negev, that when people ascend with the Torah in the Negev, with a lazy heart, as one who is exerting in vain, dryly, since he thinks that there is no reward in her. He sees that the richness of this world was lost because of her. He thinks that everything is lost. In the Negev, it's like, as they say, that the water have dried up, and it is translated as Negivu, from the word Negev, south. 60. And he came to Hebron, that he came to connect with the Torah, he studies and reads it. And there are Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the giants, and he sees many divisions there, pure and impure, forbidden and permitted, punishment and reward. Those are the ways of the Torah, the precisions of the Torah. The giants, since they were born from the side of Gevurah, because Achiman is the letters Achiman. Ach means evidence. Man, like minayin, from where, that he is meticulous about finding evidence, proof for everything. And those are the precisions of the Torah. Shisai, Lashon, from the word sason, joy, like sisu, the reward of the Torah. And talmai, from the words talmei ha-Torah, like the mounts, furrows, pure, impure, etc. 61. Hebron was built 7 years before the Tzoan of Egypt. Hebron was built for 77 years, which are the 70 faces for the Torah. The Torah has 70 panim faces. Zeranpin that has Vak Hagat Nehi and Malchut that are 7 sefirot. And each one includes 70 sefirot, so they are 70. Hebron is the Torah, because one who tries in her, exerts in her, is called Chaver. Before Tzoan of Mitzrayim, there is the Torah corresponding to the Torah, the verbal Torah, the written Torah, Zeranpin, and the verbal Torah, Malchut. Hebron, the oral Torah, Malchut, came out of the written Torah, Zeranpin, as written, tell Chochmah, tell wisdom, you are my sister. And she was built over 7 years, which are the 7 sefirot Chagat Nehim. Because of that, she's called Bat Sheva, daughter of 7. Before Tzoan of Mitzrayim, as written, and Solomon's wisdom, which is the Malchut, was more than the wisdom of all the ancient people and all the wisdom of Egypt. The Zohar brings evidence that Malchut emerged from Zeranpin, from the text, tell wisdom, Chochmah, you are my sister. Because that Chochmah is Malchut, called the lower Chochmah. And because the souls of Israel emerged from Zeranpin, and also Malchut emerged from Zeranpin, therefore the text says that you should tell Chochmah that she is your sister. Therefore, Malchut emerged from Zeranpin.
We have to remain in the feeling of unity and longing for mutual bestowal, so as to discover the Creator there and bring Him contentment.
And it is written, Hebron was built 7 years before the Tzoan of Mitzrayim, Egypt, because Egypt is what stands opposite the Chochmah. It is the Chochmah of the Klipot, shells. And Hebron, Malchut, was built through 7 Sfirot of Zeranpin, which stands opposite here, which is the Tzoan of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, that was emptied and has no structure. Because when sanctity is erected, the Sitra Achra falls. 62. And they came to Nachal Eshkol. Those are the words of the interpretation and explanation that hang from the side of Emunah, Malchut, because their interpretations and the legends hang on the Torah and surround her like the grapes in a cluster. And they cut off a branch and a single cluster of grapes. They studied from it the various chapters, the synopsis of things. Those who have faith are happy about those things, and the things are blessed within them, and they observe that they are a single root and a single essence, and there's no separation in them. Those who are not of faith and do not study Torah for her sake make faith, Malchut, separated from Zeranpin, because they blemish the Zivug of Zeranpin and Malchut, which are the written Torah and the oral Torah, because they do not believe that they are a single principle and a single root. And they carried him on the pole in two. They made a separation between the written Torah and the oral Torah, and they considered them as two. With the pole is as written, Al iten lamot raglecha, do not let your foot fall, bend. And from the pomegranates and from the figs, they placed those things completely in the side of the Sitra Achra, next to the idol worshippers and on the side of separation, because rimonim, pomegranates, is from the word minim, the idol worshippers, and te'enim, figs, from the word ina, as written, and the Lord has caused an incident by him, which is an incident. They do not believe in providence and say about everything that it is just chance, and thus they separate the Creator from the world. 63, it's written, they came back from touring the land. And they came back means that they came back to the evil side. They came back from the path of truth. And they said, what came out of it? Until now, we have not seen any goodness in the world. We worked in the Torah, yet our house is empty. And we sat among the low people in the nation. And who will merit that world? Who will come into it? It would have been better for us not to exert so much. By that, we conclude and move on to the next part of the lesson from Taz.